the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed by Jesus, by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I learned to lean on you. The battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name. But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Presence, and I'm thankful this morning that we have a salvation that endures, and from the time a person accepts Jesus all the way through eternity, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years, endless time will a person be with Christ in heaven. And so what a blessing that is to know that. And it's good to be here this morning, and I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. And so good to see you. I hope everyone here has had a great week this past week. And I'm pretty sure you've come this morning to worship the Lord. And I know that the Lord has something He wants to share with us from His Word and from the music as well. So we are anticipating a great, great day today here at Calvary. I want to jump right into a couple prayer requests, a couple announcements. And then we're going to pray, and I'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Let's remember Miss Carrie Bennett in our prayers. She's, of course, I've mentioned her here recently, but she does have congested heart failure. She's on several medications, and she just needs our prayers. She's working today and doing that, but she needs our prayers, just not feeling well. And so let's back up Miss Carrie in prayer. And also, Miss Claudia had mentioned Kayla's uncle and our granddaughter Kayla, that is her uncle, Brad Barnett. He is in Emory Hospital. He's had seizures, a brain aneurysm, and he's not doing well. From what she told me, he's not that old of a man either. And so, did I get that right, Miss Claudia? Okay, he's 42 years old, and he's had a number of things pile up and happen to him. And so if you would remember this gentleman in prayer, that would be great. And so it's good to see the Townsends with us this morning, back with us, as well as the Eccles. And good to see Miss Joanne and others. And I know that we're living in very different days, and a lot goes on, and a lot of people are working. A lot of people have been sick, but it's so good to see everybody at one time. I do want to mention we are in a brand new month of February, known as the Love Month. Remember that. Of course, Valentine's Day is on the 14th. But also, Miss Connie Teague's surgery is on the 14th, on Valentine's Day. And so let's remember her in prayer and her family as she gets ready for that. Also in this month, as we started last month, CLU, I believe that'll be the third Sunday, will be CLU. And that will be at 3 o'clock. Of course, that's considering choir practice at 4 and service at 5. So ladies of the church, remember to be part of CLU. It was a tremendous blessing I heard last time. And with Miss Nancy McClendon, when she spoke in costume. So just remember this coming up, ladies, CLU. Also, the last Sunday night of this month, again, will be our fellowship. And had a great time last Sunday night, Brother CJ, bringing the message. And, of course, all of the food and everything along with that was great. Let me just say this. Youth Sunday was amazing last Sunday. And Brother Brian and the message that he brought, another timely message we needed. And all of our young people and the singing just did an amazing job. So we appreciate that. And we want to use you as often as we can. So remember that. Let me just back up and say, along with the CLU on the third Sunday of this month and every month, we're going to have a deacons meeting at the same time that CLU is going on. And so I just wanted to get that out there, that the deacons will have a meeting during that time. And so that way we'll have several things being taken care of. And one last thing, something very big is coming up. Does anybody know? First week of March, Jubilee. And I encourage you to come to Jubilee, invite family and friends. I believe we're going to have an awesome God-honoring Jubilee this year. Didn't have one last year because of COVID, but we're having one this year. And it's going to be March the 6th, Sunday, through March the 10th, Thursday. And we will have the Perry singing that week or that Sunday. We'll have the Old Pass, Jaden's Call, Floyd Road Choir, and many more singing with us in those services next week. So remember that. We're going to have Brother Snyder Turner leading things off on that Sunday morning, and Brother Sammy Burgess preaching that night. And then Monday night, we're going to have Brother Ricky Gravely preaching. Has anybody heard Brother Ricky preach, Ricky Gravely from Rossville, Georgia? You can raise your hand if I figure so. I know we got two over here, maybe one over here and one or two behind me. But Brother Ricky is a relative young man. And Brother Berman's dad, Brother Berman Cape Sr., founded Bible Baptist Church in Rossville, Georgia. And so he pastored. And then Brother Ricky, that's the only two pastors of Bible Baptist Church. And the Lord has used Brother Ricky greatly, and I felt led to have him come this year, so you'll be blessed. He'll be on Monday night. Tuesday night will be David Smith. Wednesday night will be Brother Keith Collins from Floyd Road. And then Thursday night, Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching for us. And so just remember this week coming, Jubilee week, and all of its functions. We will have a dinner each night, Monday through Thursday. In saying that, I believe we have a sign-up sheet over here to my right. Is that right, Chris? It's okay. It's the roof. Bring a dessert and drinks. Okay. If you're planning to eat Monday through Thursday, we have a sign-up sheet just to bring a dessert or some drinks, and the food will be provided. All right, you ready to worship this morning to hear from the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we understand that we live in a world. We all have our own lives and lives that are busy, a world that has gone bad. And Father, no doubt We bring struggles with us when we come in. We may not voice those struggles, but mentally we may be struggling. We may have things on the inside that we're warring against. But my prayer is today, this morning, Lord, that you would use our choir, use our singers to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, let that pave the way for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we would not only hear your Word, but we will be doers of your Word. Lord, that we would leave here with a fresh glimpse of Calvary and an assurance in our heart that Jesus truly loves us and he will provide for us every step of the way. And so today we lift up Miss Carrie in prayer and, dear Lord, her family, Brother Larry and all, that you'd touch them. God, that you would be in the midst of them and Lord, that you would heal them physically. Miss Carrie, that you would touch her in her congestive heart failure. Father, be with Kayla's uncle and touch him. Lord, we're thankful for those whom you have touched that are here this morning who haven't been here. Lord, I thank you for touching those areas in my family's life as of late. Several areas, Lord, we've been praying about one by one, Lord, you have touched and taken care of. But now, Lord, as we sit back and reflect upon your touches, Lord, I pray that we have learned some lessons and that we may know, Lord, that prayer is priority and yielding to you and trusting you is priority. And so help us, Lord, to move forward in our own personal lives with the things that we've learned from your touches. We love you today. We praise you. And we thank you for the things that you have done, the things, Lord, that you're doing now that we may not even understand, and the things that you desire to do in the future. We ask all these things with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Choir, if you'll stand with me. Church, if you will stand with me this morning. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Let us not take that for granted, but we've come this way that we might worship him and praise him. Because he's worthy of our praise. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
He is truly worthy of our praise. And there is something about the sweet name of Jesus. It runs out fears. It runs out worry. And it just puts our minds and our thoughts upon the one that can take care of it all. Amen. So let us sing this morning. There is something about that name.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master,
seated, church, choir, you can be seated as well. Again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today, and we're thankful for the Savior. Amen. We come this way to worship and to praise him. Been many prayer requests given here today, and let's remember all of those and in a few moments when we pray. But again, it's just so good to see you here today, and let's do go to him in a word of prayer and ask him to bless the service this morning. And we're still praising the Lord for the service that we had last week. I tell you, I remember a phrase of the song that the young people sing when it said, I was
imprisoned. Y'all remember that? But now I am free. Isn't it good to be free? Amen. I was in prison, but now I am free. I'm thankful for that this morning. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we have come this way just for that today, to worship you and to praise you, Lord, because you are so worthy. You have been so good to us this week. And to give us an opportunity to be able to come back into your house this morning. Lord, I pray that you would touch our pastor. I know he has studied. I know he has prepared. And you have a message for us to deliver through him this morning. And Lord, I pray that our minds, our hearts would be open to receive your word today. Lord, something will be said that will touch us. And Lord, I pray that it will forever change us. Lord, cause us to leave a different people this morning than when we came into this place. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be again with every prayer request that's been spoken. And for those that are unspoken, those are the ones sometimes that are so dear to us, yet we can't even voice them. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with those this morning as well. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd touch someone today. If there's someone here today that's never accepted you as their Savior, may this be the day that they'd realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. We'll praise you and we'll thank you now for all that's accomplished. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I sat and thought this morning, we talked a lot about it during our Sunday school class as well. We all go through so many struggles. Friday a week ago, my sister called me on Saturday morning. Friday a week ago, my brother-in-law, her husband, had passed away during the night. And she was crying and broken, of course, but she said he's gone through so much over the past several years and been very sick and had some very difficult times, and then he developed dementia. And he, for the last couple of weeks, he never spoke a word. He never ate a meal. He didn't know who anyone was. He didn't know where he was. So she said, the blessing now is that we know that he's at home with the Lord and all the sickness has gone away. And each of us could share some kind of something that we have gone through. It's been a terrible struggle. Some are going through some struggles even now. But here's what she said to me just before we hung up the phone. She said, do you think we'll ever get back to normal? How many times have you thought that over the past year or so? Do you think we'll ever get back to normal? And I said what I say to many folks, and as sad as it is, I said, I'm afraid this might be the new normal. But what we have to do is just hold on to God and know that he's holding on to us, and realize this morning, I've been through enough to know that he will be enough for me. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust him. How he longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, afraid as I could be, till I felt his loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? Why there's no place that I can go where he does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been I'll stake my very life that he's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe. 'cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
While CJ's getting set down, I just want to say, I was thinking while we were singing that, He is all we need. And many times He's proven that to me. And He's all we need because of His mercy and His grace and that He died for our sins. So we've sang this last Sunday night, and Christy said, "Would y'all do it again Sunday morning?" And when she asked me, I thought, messed up last Sunday night, but you know what, I think I knew why she asked me, because this song, I can't hardly make it through it. That's why I messed up. It so speaks to my heart, and when we listen to it at home and I hear Charlie just walking around singing it, it just touches my heart so much. But if you just pray for me while I sing this, and as I sing these words, I pray, a lot of you may have not ever even heard the song, but I pray you just listen to the words and really think about that He is all you need, because He's shown you mercy, He's shown you grace, He's saved your soul. Some are known by great authority, for kingdoms as far as eyes can see. In royal robes they rule from thrones, waging wars they've overthrown the weak. And call it victory, my King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace, for the hope in His name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that He does. My King is known by love. I can almost see Him even now. protected with thorns upon his brow. What kind of king would leave his throne and make my sin and shame his own? He gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. My king is known by mercy. My king is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by the cross. My king is known by an empty grave and all that he does. My king is known by a love that welcomes everyone as his daughters and his sons, and no one is ever turned away. My king is known by mercy. My king is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by the cross. My king is known by an empty grave and all that he does. My king is known by love. He's known by his love. All that he does, my king is known by
love. Thank you.
can almost see him even now. Rejected with thorns upon his brow. What kind of king would leave his throne and make my sin and shame his own? Yet he gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that he does. My King is known by a love that welcomes everyone as his daughters and his sons, and no one is ever turned away. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that he does. My King is known by love. He's known by his love. And all that he does, my King is known by love.
What a blessing this morning. What a blessing. We serve a big, big God this morning. I was sitting in my prayer chair this morning. That I sit in so often. And as I sat in my prayer chair, in my head I was talking to the Lord, and there was about six things that we've been troubled over for months, one of them for years. And the Lord has answered every single one of those prayers. He has answered every single one of those prayers. There were times while praying for these things, me and Christy both felt hopeless. We asked the Lord why. You know, why us? Why are things happening the way they are? Lord, we're taking care of your people. It shouldn't be this way. But in due time, in due time. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. And in due time, he will lift you up. And I want to say this morning, from our praise to your problem, if you have one, in due time, God's going to come through for you. In due time. Now, I don't know how he's going to work out the details, Brother David. I don't know. And that was the one thing that I struggled with the most, is how it's all going to work out. I don't know how he's going to work out the details in your life, but I do know this, in due time. In due time. The devil this morning wants you to feel like that you'll never see the sun shine again. The devil wants you to feel like that you'll never be able to praise the Lord again. But I want to say, on the authority of God's word, you can, you will. It's only a matter of time. He is working all things together for good. Amen. For our good and his glory. And I've said it many a times from this pulpit, I don't always agree with what God is doing. I don't. But at the end of the day, I have to submit to what he's doing, whether I agree with it or not. And I just want to say this morning that we serve a God of love. We serve a God of grace, a God of mercy. And he has an invitation that's open this morning to anyone who does not know if they died today, heaven to be their home. I say, come unto him and he'll save you. And for the Christian that is struggling like we did, and I'm sure in the future we'll struggle much more, for the Christian that's struggling, he's saying, come unto him and lean upon him this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing. Anybody else have any word they'd like to give? I mean, truly, your heart is pounding out of your chest. Not just say something to take up time, but if you have something to say, you can stand and say it right now. If not, we're going to change the service. All right, again, we just praise the Lord for the service this morning. And again, the old devil told me it wouldn't go this way. And again, King Jesus showed him out. For a few moments this morning, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. We're going to start a message this morning in not sure if I could finish it in 15 minutes or not. I want to give it its own proper time. And if we don't finish it this morning, we might finish it tonight, we might not. I don't know. Matthew chapter number 4, not right now, but in a few moments, I want to read verse 18 through 20 in just a few moments. And the message really doesn't go with how the song service went. But I can remember Brother Berman telling me one time, he said, son, if your sermon goes along with the song service, great. If it doesn't go along with the song service, great. Still preach. And so that's what we're going to try to do. In 1519, the year 1519, Spanish Captain Hernan Cortez landed on the shores of the New World in Mexico. Upon arrival with his 600 men, he made history by destroying his own ships. He gave order for his men to burn the boats. This sent a clear message to his men, and that was, there is no turning back. Totally committed to the task at hand. 2 years later, after burning his boats, he succeeded in his conquest of the Aztec Empire. you're not really sure what all that is, you're going to have to go and Google it. True story. This man, he burned his own boats because he knew that the place that they should go was forward. So this morning, I want to look at that subject, if I could, just for a little while, and that is burning your boats. Burning your boats. A couple statements people have said according to this story in history. One person said, if you want to take the island, burn your boats. Another person said, with absolute commitment come the insights that create real victory. Burn your boats. And so this morning, I believe that there could be a spiritual application to this. And you say, Brother Justin, what are you talking about burning your boats? Burning your boats this morning is setting yourself up for spiritual success. Burning your boats this morning is following the Lord wholly. W-H-O-L-Y. It's to be used greatly. To be used greatly. Burning your boats. This morning I want to give you three things when it comes to burning your boats that this means. What does burning your boats really mean? Number one, burning your boats means total commitment to God. It means no going back because you have burned your boats. You have burned those areas in life that used to hold you back. You have burned away worry. You have burned away fear. You have burned away the arm of the flesh. And because of that, the only way to move forward is total commitment to God. So burning your boats means total commitment to God. No going back. No going back to your old ways. No going back to your old life. No more leaning on the arm of the flesh. No more habits that hurt your walk with God. No more laying out of church. No more excuses. We are burning our boats so that we can totally sell out to Almighty God. What kind of boats are parked in your harbor this morning? Do you have the boat of addiction parked in your harbor, that when times get tough and you don't think you can move forward anymore in your Christian life, you get on that boat and you sail off for a few days? There's the boat that can be in your harbor, the boat of addiction. There can be the boat of worry, the boat of fear, so that when things get difficult in your life, that you just hop on that boat of fear and worry, and you try to work out the details, and you stay gone for days on that boat out of your harbor into the storms of life that are on life's sea. I think there needs to be the burning of the boat of fear and worry. There can be all kinds of boats parked in our own harbors. What boats are you concerned with today? What kind of boats are parked in your harbor that needs to be burned? Notice, if you would, here in Matthew chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. We see some men that burned their boats. Matthew 4, in verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Look at verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. We see that these men, they they burned their boats. Jesus came by. He passed by their way, as the scriptures just stated that we read. And he threw out a question to them, or he made a statement. And he said again, the statement was in verse number 19, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says straightway they left their nets and followed him. And so they burned their boats. They left their nets. And again, in verse number 21, in verse number 22, we see the same for James and John. Jesus passed by their way as well. And so they left their nets. They left their boat. And they burned their boats. And this is something that they did in order to follow Jesus. And Jesus, as you know, would take them on the journey of their lifetime. But you see, the main thing about this story here in Mark 4 is that when he asked them to follow him, they had to leave behind some things. They had to leave behind their livelihoods. They were fishermen. That's what they were trained to do. They knew everything about fishing and washing their nets and cleaning their nets, mending their nets. They knew everything about casting nets. They knew about when they should cast their nets, and mainly it was at nighttime when it was cool. And in the morning they would come into the harbor and they would, again, wash their nets and mend their nets. And so when Jesus came by and asked them to follow him, they did. But they left some things behind. This is a picture of total commitment to God. And this morning the message is simply this, is that we all have boats we need to burn. There's all things in our life that we have parked in our harbor that do not benefit or bring us along into maturity with Jesus. We need to burn some boats this morning. Like these disciples and their total commitment to God, they left behind their nets. They left behind their boats. They, even James and John, left their father in the boat. All behind and follow Jesus. This morning, where is our total commitment to God? Where is our total commitment to God? Where does our commitment lie in? Are we more committed to what's going on outside of the church than things on the inside of the church? We need to burn some boats this morning. And so number one, that means total commitment to God. But then number two, a second thing that burning your boats actually mean, it means trust for what lies ahead. Trust for what lies ahead. When Hernan Cortez's boats were burned, the option for fleeing was totally removed. When things got hot and things got heavy and the enemy came in upon him and his men, they could not go to those boats for cover. They could not go to those boats for security because those boats were burned. And so because of this, that left only one option for Cortez and his men: to move forward. To move forward. But you see, there was a difference. Because the boats were gone, this was their only access. Every other option was removed. And so their only access point out of the situation was through the situation. And so now they had a different dynamic within. Cortez had a different dynamic in his mindset than he did before. His men had a different dynamic in their mindset than before. Meaning they have to make it work. They have to move forward. There is no more escaping. There is nothing else around to get us out of the situation. And let me just say, God many times has us in these similar situations where there's nowhere else to turn but him. There's nowhere else to go but unto the Lord. And God will deal with us at times, and he will speak to us about burning some boats in our life. God will tell us, and the Lord will show us, that if we just burn some boats in our life, we can have a new level, a different dynamic of faith operating in our hearts and souls. The Lord, from time to time, will have us lined up in a situation where the only way out is forward. The only way through is going in it. And so this is what Cortez and his men experienced that day. And again, and after 2 years, they were able to conquer the Aztec, and they had victory. Trust for what lies ahead. In like manner, when we burn our boats, it leaves only one option: to trust Christ in a greater degree. To trust Him with all of our heart and not to lean upon our own understanding, says Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. When we burn our boats, listen to this, we position ourselves and our faith in a different dynamic than usual. Now we must believe. There is no other option. We have to take Christ at His word. We don't have these things to lean on anymore. No more leaning on the armor of the flesh because it fails you. No more leaning on drugs and alcohol for it's been removed. No more leaning on reasoning. No more leaning upon worry and fear and all of those things because they never come through for you. We must lean upon Jesus. And so these men, back to these disciples, when they left their nets, they left their boats, they began to follow Jesus and to begin to trust Him and learn what real faith was. They didn't have fishing to lean on anymore. They didn't have their nets and boats and all of those familiarities and conveniences to lean on anymore, for they were following Jesus, moving straight ahead. And so after the disciples burned their boats, so to speak, they followed Jesus and relied upon Him. They leaned on Him. They learned from Him. They had experiences that they never would have learned otherwise in their walk. Think about it. If they were fishermen and stayed fishermen and yet tried to follow Jesus, they wouldn't be able to learn what they've learned. There will always be something in their relationship that was dividing their minds. Well, I could go fishing today and make some money, or I could follow Jesus. That would always be in the equation. But when Jesus asked them and told them to leave your fishing behind, your boats, your nets, and follow Me, Jesus set them up for success. And so they move forward in faith, and faith began to operate into different kinds of dynamics in their life. They witnessed miracles being performed. They learned how to pray. They endured hardship. They encountered peace, joy, and love. They experienced God's grace and mercy. They were used greatly by God. The Lord instilled many, many things within their hearts because they left all and followed Him this morning. What does burning your boats mean? Burning your boats means trusting the Lord for what lies ahead. Let us this morning burn our boats and follow Jesus wholly. Let us trust Him on a greater level and experience His goodness. You see, when we have boats parked in our harbor, whatever boat of struggle you may be struggling with, whatever boat you may be entertaining in your life, while that boat is still in your harbor, you are not able to move forward wholeheartedly with the Lord because there's always that access point there as a way of escape. So I say, let us burn our boats and follow Jesus wholly. Let us trust Him and experience Him on a greater level. And that's what these disciples did. They left their nets, they left their boats, and experienced Jesus in such a great way, such a profound way, that is still affecting our world today. So we see that burning our boats means trusting God for what lies ahead. But then there's a third thing. When it comes to burning our boats, it means triumphant victories can be embraced. We mentioned it twice already, but I'll say it again. It bears to be repeated. That after Cortez had his men burn the boats, 1 year passed by and there was no victory. A year and a half passed by and there was no victory. But 2 years in, there was total victory. And the Aztec Empire was theirs. And they were able to celebrate that victory because they burned their boats. There was this triumphant victory embraced. Listen, this morning the message is this. If we burn our boats and rely upon God, move forward in faith, we too will experience victory. Victory shall be ours. But you see, the question is what kind of boats are parked in your harbor? What is it that's hindering your walk with the Lord? Those watching on Facebook, what is it that you keep running back to when times get tough and times get troubling and times get rough? What is it that you keep running back to? This morning, the message is just simply burn your boats. Burn your boats. The Lord's already been working this morning, but we will give another invitation like the one we had during the song service. And if you need to come this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm saved and I love you, but Lord, there's some boats in my harbor that need to be destroyed. There's some things in my life that need to go so I can fully embrace your purpose for my life. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you do. And Father, we feel that's the message for this morning. Just that simple message, yet with a history lesson behind it, about how Cortez burned his boats. And by that, he was showing his men that we're here to stay. There's no way out. We must move forward and face our fears and experience victory. Lord, there might be someone here this morning, someone who's already saved that needs to burn some boats so they can experience victory. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior, Lord, let today be the day they get on that boat with you and experience your grace and your mercy. We love you today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a verse of invitation. If you need to come pray, I urge you to do so in the first verse. Anybody else this morning?